And so, for the start of our Christmas series, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And the title of the message is, The King is Coming. The King is Coming. Again, on the back of your sermon handout is our Christmas schedule, so you can look at that and find all the services and events that we're having during this Christmas season. But the King is coming, Luke 1, 26 through 38. And by way of introduction, this is our first service with an emphasis on the Christmas story. And today we're going to be studying Luke 1, 26 through 38 about the angel Gabriel's announcement that the King is coming. And the first thing we'll see is the angel's announcement, starting in verse 26. So the word of God says, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now the sixth month is the sixth month since Elizabeth had become pregnant with John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. So John the Baptist a little bit older than Jesus. And now we're going to look at some background on the angel Gabriel, this angel that brought the announcement. So about 500 years before he spoke to Mary, Gabriel gave Daniel the 70 weeks prophecy of the Messiah's birth and death in Daniel 9, 21 through 27. So this prophecy fixed the time of Jesus' coming and crucifixion. It prophesies that from the time of the commandment to rebuild the city of Jerusalem in 446 BC, there would be 483 years until the coming and crucifixion of the Messiah. So using prophetic years made up of 360 days, that would put the crucifixion happening around 32 AD. And it depends on when you set the actual birth of Jesus, because the dates are off, but I think 32 AD is the most accurate. And we go more in depth in this in our annual Palm Sunday message. So you'll have to wait for the, or you can go to Sermon Audio and listen to it, but I'll preach it again on Palm Sunday this year, and we'll go more in depth into that prophecy. So now back to Luke. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So he came to this city of Nazareth where Mary was. And this is what happened when Philip told Nathanael about Christ. Nathanael said unto him, this is John 1:46. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. So Philip goes to tell Nathanael about Christ, and he says, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So Nazareth didn't have a good reputation with Nathanael and many others. And we aren't really sure why. There was a Roman army base there. The people had a reputation apparently for being aloof. And so there were Roman troops there. And perhaps that was the problem, or perhaps it was a rivalry between towns like Georgia and Alabama. So we might say, can anything good come out of Alabama? That was just for Cindy. But, you know, when I was in school, there was a rivalry between Dalton and Chatsworth and Murray County and Dalton High. And, you know, we made jokes about them driving tractors to school and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure they made jokes about us being elitist, rich snobs and that kind of a thing. But at any rate, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So this is where Mary was and where Jesus grew up. And the angel Gabriel came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The word espoused in the King James means betrothed. The Jewish betrothal period was set in stone, and the way a Jew could break the betrothal period, the only way they could break it is with a divorce. They had to get a divorce to break the engagement period. So it was set in stone. If you were betrothed, then you were going to marry this person. That's the way it was. And so think about the contrast here, because you have the angel Gabriel comes to this humble woman, Mary, who's betrothed to Joseph, and she's a virgin, and she lives in Nazareth, which was a despised town, and yet the announcement is made that this king is going to be born out of these humble circumstances, and it's really an amazing contrast to look at. She was a virgin. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So there's double emphasis there that she was a virgin. Jesus' birth was prophesied and miraculous. It was a virgin birth, and we believe that. We believe that. And Isaiah prophesied it, Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Some Bible versions translate this as young woman rather than virgin. And some Jews say it should be translated young woman. If you do an internet search of this verse, you'll find Jewish websites that try and prove that it's not even about the Messiah and that it's saying a young woman shall conceive. But of course, that wouldn't have been very much of a sign at all, because young women conceive every day. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive." That's not a sign. But a virgin shall conceive. Well, that's a miraculous thing. So liberals and unbelievers say it should be young woman. But many Hebrew scholars say it means virgin. And in the New Testament, where this verse is quoted in Matthew, the Greek word that is used in Matthew to quote this verse can only mean virgin. It cannot mean a young woman. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." I imagine she was troubled. You'd be troubled too. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Thou hast found favor with God. The word favor means grace. Grace. So the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found grace with God. And it's a wonderful thing that all of us have found grace with God by the death of Christ on the cross for our sins and salvation by grace through faith. And if you haven't found that, I hope you'll find it today by putting your faith in Christ. But the angel says, you've found favor or grace with God. Don't be afraid. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus," which means Savior. "And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So this was extremely important. The Messiah had to be a descendant of David. And the Bible prophesies this. For instance, Psalm 132:11, "The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne." So David's descendant would sit on his throne. Isaiah 9:6-7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so the Messiah was prophesied that he would be a descendant of David, that he would come. This Isaiah is a direct prophecy of Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, which did not happen the first time he came, but it will happen when he returns. He will rule. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. So it's important that Jesus, when he comes to rule and reign the second time, that he will sit upon the throne of David. Now, that does not literally mean that he will sit on the same throne that David sat on. But what it means is that Jesus Christ will be a descendant in the line of David and will rule as a descendant of David. And that was prophesied of him. And back to Luke 1:33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So Jesus, as a descendant of David, fulfilled these prophecies. He was a physical descendant of David through Mary. If you trace Mary's lineage, it goes back, and David was in her line. So he was a physical descendant through Mary. He was a legal descendant of David through Joseph. Now, Joseph was not a biological father. Obviously, Jesus is the Son of God. But Joseph was his legal father. And the Jews would trace lineage through the father and so, legally. And so Jesus was both physically through Mary and legally through Joseph a descendant of David. And therefore, he was qualified to be the Messiah. I preached a whole message on this one time, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, and just went through a particular book in the New Testament, I don't remember which one, and talked about the references to Jesus being called the Son of David, the Son of David, the Son of David. And we put it on sermon audio, and I got a phone call, and I answered the phone, and it was this Jewish guy that wanted to argue with me. And he had listened to the sermon, and he was upset, and he was telling me that there's no way that Jesus could be the son of David, and there's no way he could be the Messiah, and so on and so forth. So you see, even today, how important this is, that the Messiah is the Son of David, and people want to deny that. Now, the next thing we see is Mary's question. Mary's question in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So the angel says, you're highly favored. God is giving grace to you. You're going to have, Mary, you're going to have this child that will be a descendant of David and rule on his father David's throne. You're going to have the Messiah. And she is dumbfounded. She says, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm a virgin. This can't happen. Of course, today, you don't need a man to have a baby. In fact, today, you don't even have to be a woman to have a baby, according to society. Every time I type in baby on my iPhone, then it comes up. Apple's got all these images of men, pregnant men. They've got two pregnant men and one pregnant woman, which is kind of interesting. It may be, just fat. It may be like a beer belly or something, or a food belly. But at any rate, Mary said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel's answer is given in verses 35 through 37. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And so she said, "How shall this be?" And the angel says, "It's going to be a miracle. It's going to be a miracle. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age," which was also a miraculous thing because she was too old to have a baby. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." So there's your Christmas miracle. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And we studied this in Sunday school last week, I think, and we talked about, well, it's impossible for God to lie, the Bible says. So God can't do anything that goes against his own nature. But as far as things that go with God's nature, things that are right, things that are just, there's nothing impossible with God. And so God can take a hopeless situation and turn it around, as he did with Elizabeth, who was thought to be barren and could never have a child because she was too old and she wasn't able to, and yet she had a child. Praise God for that. And then God took a virgin who had never known a man, and yet she was able to conceive by the Holy Ghost and bear the Son of God. A miraculous thing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Then we see Mary's response in verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." So God comes to Mary, and he sends his angel messenger to Mary. And Gabriel says, "You're going to have a baby, even though you're a virgin. Your baby will reign from the throne of his father David. You're going to have the Messiah." And Mary says, "How can this be?" And Gabriel says, "It's a miracle." And Mary says, "I'm here. I'm the servant of God. I'm ready to do what God wants." By the way, if Joseph did not believe her, then she could end up never being able to be married again. She would be an outcast in society. And so it was a big risk. But she believed. And she said, "I'm ready to serve." And if only we could be like that. You know, God wants to do miraculous things. He wants to do great things through my life and through your life. And we have to say, "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." God wants to do miraculous things through this church. God wants to do miraculous things in your family. God specializes in taking hard cases that nobody thinks could happen. Just like this thing that you talked about here. That's a Christmas miracle. That these two men that were locked up in prison for 25 years for a crime they never committed. Now they've been set free because it was proved that the evidence was fabricated. So God worked a miracle there and let that happen. And some people are cynical and they say, well, why did God let them be locked up in the first place? But what do you know about God? What do you know about how God works? God's a lot smarter than we are, or we'd be running the universe. So God knows what he's doing. And so God's worked a miracle here. And the truth of the matter is that whatever you're facing in your life, God can work a Christmas miracle or an Easter miracle or a miracle that's not even on a holiday. He can work in the situation and take care of the situation that you are facing. So let's be like Mary was this morning. Gabriel came and he said, "This is the message of God. You're going to conceive and have a baby." And she said, I can't do that. I'm a virgin." And he said, "No, the Holy Ghost is going to make that happen." And so she says, "Behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And that's how we ought to live. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for this miracle of the birth of Jesus. And I thank you that Jesus Christ came not just to be a baby in a manger, but to grow up and to become a man who died on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternal life by faith in him. And we pray that today, if anyone has not believed in Jesus and received him as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior, that today would be the day that they would believe and receive the Lord. And we pray, if we have loved ones that don't know the Lord, we pray that this Christmas would be a time when we could witness to them and invite them to church and share the message with them, and that they would be saved. We pray for people here who don't have hope during this time of year, who are fearful, that we'll take the message of Gabriel from the Lord to heart, that says, fear not, fear not. God is giving you grace. You've found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so as believers in Christ, we pray that we would not fear, but that we would embrace the grace that you are giving to us, Lord Jesus, and believe it, and believe in you. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. We'll stand and sing a verse of Amazing Grace.